Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Should the government provide a minimum income for all Americans? It's become an issue on the 2020 presidential campaign. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Jake Schlesinger.
Everybody gets a guaranteed income of a minimum amount from the United States government, no strings attached, whether you're the poorest American or whether you're Bill Gates.
He'll explain the proposal put forth by presidential candidate Andrew Yang and whether other candidates in the field support a government-provided basic income. That's next. Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang's campaign has gained traction with his proposal to give a $1,000 monthly payment to all Americans, regardless of their income. He calls it a freedom dividend, but it's more commonly known as universal basic income, which hasn't received serious attention in several decades. And Wall Street Journal reporter Jake Schlesinger joins us from our Washington bureau to explain. So, Jake, let's start with, can you just explain what universal basic income is?
Sure. Everybody gets a guaranteed income of a minimum amount from the United States government. In the format that Andrew Yang has put it forth, everyone gets a check, every adult American gets a check for $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year, no strings attached, whether you're the poorest American or whether you're Bill Gates.
But some of the other Democratic presidential candidates, they've indicated support for basic income, but not universal. What's the difference?
First, I should make clear, it is true that no other Democratic presidential candidate or any party leader has endorsed Andrew Yang's vision of a universal basic income. But there is support in different ways for some variations on what might be called a basic income or a guaranteed minimum income. The main difference is the question of universal, as in, a basic income means that there's a kind of floor where all Americans would get some kind of assurance of a cash payment of some kind every year, but it's not universal. Those kind of proposals usually phase out as income goes up. Usually, you know, they would go more toward poorer people or lower middle class people.
Now, in response to Democratic support for basic income or universal basic income in order to support families, the Trump campaign says it's done plenty for working families.
Right. So the core, in some ways, of the President Trump's reelection campaign in 2020 is that he has done a great job for the economy, that running an economy with an unemployment rate of 3.5%, you're starting to see decent wage gains, even among and particularly among lower income workers, and that that is the way to help lower income and middle income families, which is to run a hot economy with low unemployment and not to have the government more actively involved.
But there are some Republicans who have signaled support for some form of basic income.
They wouldn't necessarily call it a basic income, but I think there is support that in some circumstances the government ought to be channeling money to some families without attaching strings. The most specific example of that is revolving around the child tax credit. And Mitt Romney, the Republican senator from Utah, the 2012 Republican presidential nominee, teamed up with Michael Bennett, a 2020 Democratic candidate senator from Colorado, to propose a new form of a child tax credit. And what was important about that child tax credit is that a portion of it would be made available to all families, no strings attached. That's a contrast with the current law in which a child tax credit does have strings attached, some requirements for working, some requirements for earning a certain amount in the private sector. And what in some ways is a real breakthrough in a concept in the Romney-Bennett proposal is that you would be able for the first time to get a child tax credit if you have children at home, whether you're working or not.
Now, back to the Democratic side of things. Does the idea of financial support for families, whether they're working or not, does that seem to push the Democratic Party more to the left than some are comfortable with?
Yeah, that gets to what has been a core debate about government income support and welfare, really going back to the Reagan administration in the 80s, which is that there has been a turn that has been accepted by both parties, which is that government support really should be tied to people who are working. The theory being that to give some kind of income guarantee to people who are not in the job market is a disincentive for work and creates an unhealthy dependency. Bill Clinton in the 1990s, even as he significantly expanded income support programs, still rooted that through work. There's a growing number of proposals, whether it's to actually drop the work requirement altogether or to what some people call expand the definition of work to say that, well, you don't need to get a paycheck from an employer to qualify for credits that go to working people, that if you're a student in college, if you're a caregiver for a child at home or an elderly parent, that qualifies as work and you should get government support as well, government payments as well. That makes some Democrats nervous who worry that, in particular, that once you start to loosen the bonds between income support programs and work, that you will lose the bipartisan support that has built up for those programs over the past 40 years.
And the Trump administration wants to tighten the rules that govern payments that would go to needy families.
Absolutely. The Trump administration is taking policy in the opposite direction, which is to impose even stricter work requirements for people who are getting government assistance. The logic, again, being that you don't want to provide government support that provides a disincentive for work, as some people believe happens, and again, to cut down on government waste. Again, those are not necessarily widely supported views or not necessarily the consensus view, but there certainly is a view out there that you need to impose those restrictions in order to get the best outcomes.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Jake Schlesinger joining us from our Washington bureau. Jake, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure. My pleasure. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.